Let's turn in the scriptures to Hebrews chapter 4, as we made mention this morning of that from Numbers 15. We'll read it here this evening, Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 16 in Hebrews chapter 4. And there, starting in verse 1, these are the words of the Lord. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as He has said, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this place, "They shall not enter my rest." Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again He designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time as it has been said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered His rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from His. There, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And those are God's words. Now, here, still looking at how Christ is greater than Moses, we see a comparison of Israel entering the rest of God if they would hear His word, but they failed. Remember the first generation, Numbers we just read, the last few chapters, they failed. They did not enter the promised land as the Lord promised. And the land of Canaan, which is the promised land, so-called, foreshadowing glory in heaven with Jesus forever. And so the church called to that eternal Sabbath rest, verse 8. But the application then is given in verse 9 and through the rest of the chapter, really, with a different word that appears still, though, as rest in your translations, or Sabbath. It's a different word altogether in verse 9 than just rest. The word is part of His exhortation toward application. Because there is that eternal rest, we therefore look forward to in Christ. Therefore, there remains the word is Sabbath keeping for the people of God today. That's what He's saying here. It's not merely an eternal Sabbath, like some people believe, or rest that awaits us, but as we look forward to that celebration in glory forever, as it's foreshadowed here, the Lord's Day, the day of rest now, foreshadows that and reminds us of the hope that we have. Even as it goes on, and it reminds us of Jesus Christ, the High Priest, He sympathized with our weaknesses, and then He says, "Let us therefore now come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When do we especially do that? We especially do that on the Lord's Day, the day of rest, today. And so there's still a Sabbath keeping for the people of God today. And so, as we've said before, this is a great privilege because we today get to come to His presence before the throne of grace. When those of the Old Covenant had to come to Jerusalem or the temple, the tabernacle, praise the Lord, we don't have to do that anymore. We come whenever the two or three are gathered and the Spirit is amongst us, present with us, and we are before the throne. We come spiritually before Him, the Lord. So how are we going to go about diligently seeking after this eternal rest, or to enter this eternal rest? We will especially do so by diligently Sabbath keeping. And so that we will hear the Word of God, which is the point of what He was continually quoting from the Psalm. We will continually hear His voice and not harden our hearts, and be trained not to harden our hearts. And if that's all true, which as we've been called, or what we are called to, then the end of chapter 4 is a call, again, to believe on Christ, to trust in the gospel and come boldly before the throne of grace now, today. So why? Or so for what purpose? To hear His voice and not harden our hearts, that we might enter His rest. And that's what we have foreshadowed for us today. Let's pray. Father, we give You praise for the Sabbath day. We're thankful for godly men who have gone before us and taught us Your Word, even all the way back to the apostles, and having that foundation. Father, we're thankful for Your Son Jesus Christ and the gospel. We're thankful that we are able now to come before Your throne of grace to find help in our time of need. And Father, we're thankful for the Lord's Day, this day of rest that we have, that we need, not only in our bodies, but in our souls. So Father, we ask that You would build us up and encourage us and comfort us in this day, the Lord's Day. Father, we're thankful for the fact that You've brought us together this evening. We're thankful that Dina had been gone because of illness for the last few weeks. She's back again. We're thankful that You've healed her enough for that. And now, Father, we're thankful for the CY retreat that there was held this week and this weekend in Washington, Iowa, at the Washington RP Church. We pray that for those children, those teenagers, that You would be growing them in faith and calling them to salvation, if they some who do not know You and who have went to be with friends. Father, we ask that You would have blessed the ministry of Wade Mann as he led them and taught them things from Your Word. And Father, we ask, as the family has been there this week from our congregation, the Nichols family, pray that You would have blessed them and returned them home and everyone else home safely from that retreat. Father, we ask that You would give us more opportunities, and maybe one day we would be able to host that kind of retreat here, and that we might be able to minister to children from across our presbytery. Father, we ask that You would grow our presbytery. We're thankful for the many church plants that are happening, that we are engaged in and desirous of growing the kingdom here in our part of the world. We're thankful for the church in San Antonio and the first worship service starting in Oklahoma City this next Lord's Day. We pray that You would bless that effort and bring success to it. We're thankful for the families already who are a part of that and wanting a church there in Oklahoma City, even already providing one elder. And Father, we're thankful that You have cared for us and grown us. Father, we pray for that family who visited this morning, that You would bless them and perhaps call them to come and join us in time. Pray that You would be with me in my meeting with them tomorrow, Lord willing, and that conversation and time that we have together would be a blessing to everyone. And Father, we ask that You would give us strength to minister to our community that You've brought us to, and Your providence, and we can see that providence looking back on our history. And Father, we ask that you would bring some who would call upon the name of Jesus for salvation, and we could teach them your ways and all your commandments, and they would commit themselves to your Son Jesus Christ and join the bride of Christ and be adopted into your family, that the many angels would rejoice over the one sinner who repents. Father, we're thankful for this congregation. We ask that you would bless us as we continue in worship this evening. We'd also pray for Russ's mother, that you would strengthen her for her last days, and strengthen Russ and the family to minister to her and help her and remind her of the gospel promises. Father, we ask that you would again bless the Hodges family as they've now joined us as a congregation. Again, we pray as we prayed this morning. And Father, we pray and ask for wisdom for the Adang family and John and Becky as their lease is up in May, and a new job in Gardner, where they might move to. And Father, we also ask for Becky's uncle, I believe, who has lost a loved one, for Daniel, and ask for strength for him and comfort from grief. Pray that he would turn to you for that comfort, the only comfort that can really be given from you alone. Father, we ask that you would watch over us and bless your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.